And then there are all the other types. Yes, which way go? And yet somehow there is a thread that reminds us that there is still something for us to see and something for us to continue to live into as beloved. We will begin with the gospel. Much has happened since this call of the burning bush. The journey to the promised land is almost at its completion. Moses will not live to see that. This does not seem fair after the call has been so clear. After all the signs and wonders he has entrusted to perform, after all those commandment writing, God seeing, mountaintop experiences, after all the grumbling we had to go through, after all that, the one God calls me his people out of Egypt will not be the one living the painting. It is something to think about as we consider our own lives. Have there been times when you were not the one to see a project, or a goal, or a service, or even the helping of a friend, worthy to its completion? Try as we might. It becomes clear that it is time to move on. Try as we might, it is no longer within our presence. Try as we might, it is not our way. Try as we might, the golden spirit. There were reasons, yes, including Moses and Timothy, that God led God to that decision. But the unfairness of it seems hard. And earlier passages also tell us that Moses tried very hard for this not to be the case. Tried and pleaded, it was not. The Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you one of them. I have let you see it with your eyes. Moses had a glimpse of the far-off place, and then he died. And for this moment, I think we must stay right there. Can you imagine that scene? Moses' final breath, the final sight, was out of the promised land, which seems as much to me as a future promise, even in the midst of what seems like a present unbelief. And sometimes that might be enough. And sometimes that reminds us that something much bigger is going on. It was Joshua who continued the journey, commissioned by Moses. Filled with the spirit of wisdom, Joshua said, and yet the focus really was not on Joshua. The work in many ways that already been completed. Moses, the servant of God, had taught them everything that they needed to know to reform and fulfill in different new lands. Moses, the servant of God, had already brought God's word and God's presence to the people. So, in fact, we would know God, who would be leading, who would be remaining, and who would be God. The one for the Messiah. And then we come to that pivotal moment in Matthew's gospel, when the third thing is the challenge. Jesus won the round with the Sadducees, and the Pharisees were concerned. You read that Jesus silenced the Sadducees, so the Pharisees gathered together. And the next round of questions. Which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment." You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments in all the law and the prophets. Give me a sound. These were the very commandments that Moses brought. They have passed down from generation to generation. Jesus was the one of the teaching. But to give an answer about which is the greatest was not something that should have been able to be answered. These are God's laws. There is no greatest. Exactly. And no one has the authority to say anything. And yet Jesus had an authority that they could not understand. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is the greatest. Except that love your neighbor is also great. For they both are God's highest desire that the beings make all other commandments possible to give them their reason for being without making them less important or less great or less. What they did not know is that they were speaking to the very who had come to fulfill the commandments. God in flesh alone. Were the Pharisees satisfied or were they not expected to be marriage? Either way, they were speaking. And so Jesus is going to ask them a question. What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son? This is a pivotal question for establishing who Jesus was, but they did not get it. They responded to the son of David. This was the traditional answer to which the lineage of the Messiah would come. But Jesus pushes further. Well, how is it that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord? How can his Lord also be his son? And why is that even important as a question? First, because it establishes Jesus' relationship with God, he means more than Moses or David, servants of God. He is the son of God. And second, not only does he call for his own people for slavery, he was also called to hate, to love, and to lay his life down for all of them. Moses' death came because he was not allowed to enter the promised land. Christ's death came so that all could enter the promised land, the kingdom without him. The Pharisees may not have understood this, but they certainly knew that Jesus was not the God of the question, for they may not have been in the answer. And the gospel said, from that day on, no one dared to ask him the question. And that makes it a lot of sense to me. It scares me sometimes when I dare to ask Jesus a question. Because I too am a little nervous of what the answer might be, or what he might say. It makes me think again about a question I asked earlier. Have there been times when the thing that appeared between your call or mine to answer was not out of contention? It does not make it any easier, perhaps, but maybe just maybe something else is easier. Maybe, just maybe, it is no longer our job. We don't have protection. It is to say, it is the work of the Son of God through the Holy Spirit who is to carry on with you. We are servants of God. We are children of God. We are God. For it might be that we have forgotten or let the Spirit quiet us, or let the Spirit. Living life is not easy. And loving our neighbor as ourselves. Paul in his letter to the Thessalonians made that abundantly. Though we have been shamefully misused, though we declare the gospel of God in spite of the and God, we could say, we have been put upon fighting. Though we ourselves have been the grumbling, we are not the one. Trials and pressure. So that you will know the thread that is woven through these words is woven in you. I pray that you will remain in the earth, that even in the midst of what seems the present unknown, you shall have a glimpse of God's future growth. And I pray that you